Jesus' name, amen. Someone has said this world would be great if it weren't for people. You weren't the one who said that, were you? We find conflict, don't we? It seems like there is conflict in the world. There's conflict at work. There's conflict at home. There's conflict sometimes in our neighborhood. You know, arguments with neighbors. Sometimes, as I spoke a couple weeks ago, even in church. Wouldn't it be great if we could go somewhere and people wouldn't bother us? I mean, if you could go somewhere and people just wouldn't, you know, drive you nuts and beat on you and beat you up and knock you down. If we could get along with one another. If we found that place, it would be ruined the moment we step in it. Because have you ever noticed that everyone's driving us nuts, but we're not driving anybody nuts? Everyone is getting us angry, but we're not getting anyone angry. Everybody else is doing the wrong thing, but we're not the one doing the wrong thing. This passage deals with learning to be patient with people and not circumstances. Let me rephrase that. This passage deals with learning to be patient with people and the circumstances they create in our lives. That's a better way to say it. It's all about having people who are just knocking us down and learning to be patient with them, and then learning to be patient or learning to endure the circumstances they create in our lives. And that's why I titled the message tonight, to talk tonight, Patient Endurance. Well, what does it say about that? Notice the very first thing, that we need to be patient when wronged. We need to learn to be patient when we are wronged. Notice chapter 5 and verse 7. Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. That's the overall command of this passage. Be patient, brothers. And the brothers here is not just guys, but it's everyone. Kind of like sometimes we talk of a boat, and we usually speak of a boat in female terms. Often we speak in terms of everybody, and we just say brothers. So he says, be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. Now, the patient here is the same word we find in 1 Corinthians 13 when it talks about love. It means to be long-tempered. Has the idea of prolonged restraint. In other words, someone is angering you and getting you mad and driving you nuts. The idea of this word is as they're doing that, we are being patient with them. We are being slow to anger. It is a patient holding out under trial, a long protracted restraint of the soul and not yielding to anger. It is especially being patient with people rather than things. Patient with people who are not treating us right. I don't know about you, but sometimes people don't treat me right. As a pastor, it happens once in a blue moon that people don't treat me right. Maybe you go to work and you have someone at work that's just not treating you right. Maybe you go home and it's your wife or your husband or your kids or, you know, maybe a brother or sister or a parent. Someone's just not treating you right. This is a command that says be patient when you find yourself in those circumstances. Now, if you go back to verse 1 through verse 6, James had just talked about the rich and how sometimes the rich use their money just to knock people down, to take over the courts, use their money to really just, you know, to hurt people. So now he comes in verse 7, he says, look, in these circumstances where people just are not treating you right, what are you to do? Be patient. Don't get angry. Don't get irritated. When you are being treated in an evil way, Under those circumstances, don't let people get under your skin, as we might say today. And why should we do that? Well, Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." You're going to go out into the week this week, and you are going to deal with your job, you are going to deal with work, you are going to go home, and for certain you're going to have someone call you on the phone, maybe a telemarketer, someone else, maybe it's someone coming after you because you haven't paid a bill, and people are just going to get under your skin. How do you deal with that? The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that a fool shows his annoyance at once. The fool, as soon as someone gets under their skin, boom, they're angry. James says, look, be patient. Be slow to anger. Now, you may ask, how long do I need to be that way? How long am I to not let people get under my skin? Well, notice verse 7, until the Lord comes. You probably thought we were going to say until an hour from now. Or until tomorrow. Be patient with people until when? Until the Lord comes back. We are to endure human evil until the Lord comes back. Well, in saying that, God, through James, knew that we might sit back and say, you know what? That's hard. Sometimes it's really hard not to get angry with people. I was driving the other day. My oldest brother is down in Florida. He bought a home in Florida. And he's down there. I don't know if they came back yet, but they were down there during this last snowfall. So he called me from Florida, and he said, I'm in Florida. You need to go up and take care of Mom and Dad's sidewalks. And, of course, my brother lives right next to my parents, so that means do his sidewalks too. So during this storm, Connie and I did my parents' house, my brother's house, and my house twice, all of them twice. And so we were driving up in the middle of the snowstorm. What day was that it snowed? I can't even remember. Wednesday, that's right, we canceled service. So we're driving up in the middle of that snowstorm, and I live at the bottom of Greenridge Street. My parents live at the top, so it's about a mile, mile and a half straight uphill. Well, there were three cars on the entire street going up Greenwich Street. There was a car, there was us, and there was a guy about 3 feet off my bumper behind me. He was the third car. And I turned to Connie, I said, you know, it just drives me nuts when people tailgate, and especially when they do it in snow. You know, it's not like you got a fly going up the hill, and it's not like, you know, there's a line of cars. There were three of us. He could have just, you know, backed off a little bit because, you know, for sure, if we stopped, he was going to be in my bumper. He was just that close. How do you respond when people don't do what they ought to do? How do you respond when people are just doing things that irritate you? James says, be patient with them. Now, as I said, God knows that that would be difficult. God knows there's times when that's going to be really hard. So he wants to give us some examples so that we can understand what he means and we can understand that other people have found themselves in very same circumstances and they made it through. So I want you to consider three examples that we are given beginning in verse 7 of patient endurance. Now, in the middle of verse 7, we have the first example. The first example is that of the farmer. Notice the middle of verse 7. He says, be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. And here's the first example. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop? And how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. So the first example we have is that of Kibbe. the farmer. And I'm sure he fits the example of patience. His family would tell us that, that he is a patient guy when people are irritating him. The example here is be patient. Look at the farmer, how he waits for the rains so that he can deal with his crop. The farmer waits patiently, notice, for the spring and the fall rain, literally the early and the late rains. In Palestine, the early rain came in October, November. The spring rain, the late rain came during April, May, and that's just before the harvest. So the farmer knew that he needed to wait for these rains if his crop was going to do what it needed to do. We need to be patient like the farmer. Just like the farmer waits for the rains, we need to be patient with people. We need to learn to wait. Look at that farmer. He waits for the rains so that he might have his valuable crop. You too, be patient. The idea is like him and stand firm. In other words, patience produces perseverance. Stand firm. As the farmer patiently waits for the rains, it is producing perseverance in his life, because he knows that he needs to wait for the rains before his crop is going to do what it ought to do. Stand firm. Literally means strengthen your heart or make your heart stable. It denotes firm courage. Has the idea of continuing in spite of severe trial. So our patience with people develops within us a firmness with our circumstances. As we are patient with people, we begin to have courage. We begin to be stable. We begin to strengthen our hearts. Why do we need strong hearts? Why do we need to do that? Notice, because the Lord's coming is near, verse 8. Have you ever noticed that when you're going through something, it seems sometimes insurmountable? You know, when you're sick. Now, for me, I think the worst thing in the world is vomiting. I can take all kinds of things, but for me, just, you know, being over a bucket and losing your stomach and then getting to the point where you're still vomiting and nothing more is coming out, I just can't stand that. I won't go too much. You'll start thinking about it. I just can't stand that. And when you're going through the middle of it, you know, you're in it and you feel like you're just going to die. But then it seems as time goes by, it didn't seem like it was that bad. You know, you kind of face things in life, and in the middle of those things, it seems like, you know, they can rip your body out of your life. But as you go further, as you look at lines, they're not as bad. You know, we think about the stock market. How over the last couple of years, the stock market, it's just crashed like crazy. But if you put those crashes in lines and you take those lines out, you know, over 20 and 30 and 40 years, then those big drops in the stock market become little drops. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said. And you think about all that the Apostle went through. Here's what he said. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. You know, as you go through life and people are just aggravating, people are just knocking you down, and people are taking advantage of you, and people are just harming you, then realize that those things that seem so difficult, when the Lord returns and you stand in the presence of Jesus Christ, those things are going to seem as if they were nothing. The problem is when we find ourselves in those difficult times, when we find ourselves going through troublesome times and troublesome people, then we tend to turn inward. we tend to begin to look around. Happens in families. As things are going well for families, for husband, wife, kids, when things are going well, you know, everything's great. But then when you begin to have problems, and sometimes we begin to look at one another, and because of those problems, I always take the circle. Everything inside the circle is kind of within the family. Those things outside the circle, those things that happen outside the family, when those darts in the outer circle, everything outside the family begin to hit us, sometimes we begin to look at each other and we begin to grumble. We begin to see each other's faults. So notice verse 9. He's saying here, look, be patient with people as they mistreat you, as they harm you. Verse 1 through 6 of James 5. And then he throws in verse 9, look, don't grumble against each other. Because that's exactly what we tend to do. And apparently, as the people that James are writing to, remember, people that James are writing to are Jews who had become Christians. And because they had turned to Jesus Christ, their Jewish neighbors had begun to mistreat them, had begun to harm them and hurt them, so they ran for their lives. They are Jews who had been scattered. They had been scattered in what was called a disbursement. And now as they are scattered, they are being taken advantage of. They are being harmed by other people. And because of all that, they're beginning to look at one another and they begin to grumble against each other. The word grumble means to groan. And the word that is used here is not the groaning or the grumbling we usually think of, you know, where people just, they begin to complain. This is not verbal or open complaint, this word. This word speaks of the inner distress that is inside someone, the attitude, the heart, rather than the verbal complaining of what we're going through. It is a word that's used to express the unexpressed feelings of bitterness and resentment. As I said, sometimes when there's outside pressure on a group, inside the group, they begin to grumble against each other. James says, look, don't let that happen. Don't do it. The New American Commentary says it this way. This caution would limit the kind of rivalry that can flare up under difficult circumstances. James' context shows that if believers were to endure their sufferings, they would do so together. Indeed, trials are better endured when the encouragement of community, rather than in solitude. Since believers already had to endure the attacks of the wicked wealthy, the last thing the oppressed faithful needed was attacks against each other. Think about what happens to couples when they have financial troubles. You know, bills aren't getting paid. Bills are beginning to pile up. So what happens? Husband and wife begin to attack each other. You know, we wouldn't be in this situation if you paid the bills. We wouldn't be in this situation if you didn't spend so much money. And they begin to grumble against each other. Happens in churches. It happens in groups. James says, don't let that happen. Why? Notice verse 9. Why? Or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. You're going to stand before Jesus, therefore, and watch your attitudes towards one another. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. I wonder how much our attitudes would really change, how much our actions would change if we could visualize. If we could visualize Jesus standing right here. How much would your attitudes change if while you're at home and no one else is around and no one else can see what's going on in your head, if you knew Jesus was right here and he was listening to what you were thinking? Or when someone says something about you or does something as you're walking down, maybe you're walking down the side aisle here and someone walks by and doesn't say hello, and you kind of under your breath or in your attitude, you know, mumble, say, oh yeah, they're a real good Christian. James says, look, the judge. He's standing at the door. The idea is he's ready to come. The next event in prophecy is the rapture of the church. So just like that, we could be standing in the presence of Christ. So be patient with people. Stand firm in difficult circumstances. And don't grumble against each other. Watch your attitude. Now, in verse 10, he gives us a second example. The second example is that of the prophets. Notice verse 10. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. You know, there's an awful lot of Christians who never read the Old Testament. They say, you know, I go back to the Old Testament, I get lost. Or the Old Testament, that's not really for today. Today, the New Testament's only for us. And I want you to know that's not true. James says, look, as an example of patience, especially in the face of suffering, like he's talking to the people here in the book of James, go all the way back to the prophets and look at them as an example. Romans 15:4 says, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us. So everything written in the Old Testament was written to teach us today. And they are an example of what it is like to suffer and to be patient. Turn with me in your Bible to 2 Samuel chapter 16. Let me give you a couple examples of the prophets. 2 Samuel chapter 16. I want to begin in reading in verse 5. Verse 5. As King David approached Bahurim, a man from the same clan as Saul's family came out from there. His name was Shimei, son of Gera. And he cursed as he came out. He pelted David and all the king's officials, threw all the troops and the special guard around David's right and left. As he cursed, Shimei said, get out, you man of blood, you scoundrel. I wonder, what would it take for you to go after somebody or to get mad with someone? Here you are walking down the road. This guy comes out and he begins to shout curses at you. How do you respond? He then picks up stones and he begins to throw them at you. How do you respond? Verse 8. The Lord has repaid you for all the blood you shed in the household of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. The Lord has handed the kingdom over to your son Absalom. You have come to ruin because you are a man of blood. Then Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said to the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over and cut off his head. You know, some of the guys walking with David, they didn't have any patience whatsoever. Let me just go over and cut the guy's head off and end all this. But the king said, what do you and I have in common, you sons of Zeruiah? If he is cursing because the Lord said to him, curse David, who can ask, why do you do this? David is running from his own son Absalom. I mean, David's going through a very difficult time in his life. when Shimei comes out and begins to pelt him with stones and begins to curse him. Now, sometimes we find ourselves in difficult times and we kind of excuse anything we do and we say, well, you know what, I'm just going through a really bad time that gives me the right to do anything. I'm going through a really bad time that gives me the right to retaliate, that gives me the right to be angry, that gives me the right to do whatever I'm going to do. David said, I'll let him go. Who knows if the reason he's cursing us is because God told him to do it. David was a king, among other things. He was also a prophet. David is an example of patience in the face of suffering. Let me give you another example. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 20. When the priest Pashur, son of Amor, the chief officer in the temple of the Lord, had heard Jeremiah prophesying these things, he had Jeremiah the prophet beaten and put in the stocks. So Jeremiah is preaching the word of God to the people of his day, telling them what God had told him. And now some of the priests hear Jeremiah saying what God told him to say, and he has him beaten and put in the stocks. So you can imagine, after I get done speaking tonight, another pastor comes and says, you know, I'm sick of listening to him, has a bunch of people beat me, and then has me put in the stocks. Skip over to chapter 32. Chapter 32. Verse 2, the army of the king of Babylon was then besieging Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was confined in the courtyard of the guard in the royal palace of Judah. He was confined in the courtyard. What had happened was, again, as Jeremiah is preaching the word of God, they come and basically put him in prison. They confine him in the courtyard. So the very thing that Jeremiah had preached, if the people didn't turn to God, God was going to send the Babylonians to Jerusalem and they would destroy it. While his preaching is being fulfilled, he's there in the stocks, confined in the courtyard, facing persecution. Skip over to chapter 38. Verse 6, so they took Jeremiah and put him in the cistern of Malchijah, the king's son, which was in the courtyard of the guard. They lowered Jeremiah by ropes into the cistern. It had no water in it, only mud, and Jeremiah sank down into the mud. Now you know what a cistern is, right? A cistern is a well. So this well evidently had run dry, but it wasn't completely dry. So as they lowered Jeremiah down as a means of punishment, he sunk in the mud. Have you ever walked in the mud? I'm sure when you were a child, you did it. And you probably had those old rubber boots on, or maybe shoes. And as you walked in the mud, you would pick your foot up and your shoe would stay there stuck in the mud. And you know, you'd be pulling out and your sock would begin to get stuck there and your foot's coming out. Jeremiah is stuck down in the bottom of the cistern and he begins to sink in the mud. All these passages I just read was about the suffering of Jeremiah as he's preaching the word of God to the people of his day. And here's the thought. In all of these passages, as Jeremiah is being persecuted, He never stops preaching in love the Word of God to the people of his day. He was patient with them. I could give you many more examples of the prophets in his day, or the prophets of the Old Testament. In James, he just simply says, take for example the prophets, how they were patient in the face of suffering. Go back with me to James. We have three examples. The first example is that of the farmer. The second example is that of the prophets. I've given you two examples of the prophets, how they were patient with people in the spite of suffering faced by those very same people. Now, why do you notice the third example? The third example is that of Job. Notice verse 11. As you know, we considered blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Job's perseverance. Who was Job wronged by? Who treated Job in an ill-mannered way? Well, there were a couple of people. There was his wife, who told him to curse God and die. And then there were his friends. You remember Job's friends came to Job and they sat around Job, and all they really did was knock Job down and said, look, Job, the reason you're doing or facing all these problems is because God is punishing you. He says, as you know, we consider those blessed, or we consider blessed those who persevered. You've heard of Job's perseverance. The word persevere here is a word that sometimes translated patience. In this case, it has the idea of not quitting, of remaining instead of fleeing, of standing one's ground, of enduring, patient endurance. Patient with people and enduring through the problems that those very people put us in. Staying power, tenacity, not quitting. Proverbs 24:10 says, if you falter in times of trouble, how small is your strength? Perseverance is the key. Not quitting, not giving up. It's getting around people and allowing those people to beat you up and beat you up and beat you up, and you don't quit. Let me ask you tonight, how do you respond to troubled times? How do you respond to difficult people? I believe there's three ways in which we can respond. The first is to cut and run. You know, we look at context here. James is talking about people who are kind of being beat up by the rich. So he says to the people, be patient with the rich. Don't get angry. Don't let them irritate you. Be patient with them. Well, when that happens in our life, we can cut and run. You just quit. You run as far as you can. Get away from it all. Or you can stay and hide. Stay and hide. You know, you stay where you're at, but really in your heart, you've already quit. You're still going through the motions. If people were to look at your life from the outside, you're still going to work, you're still going to church, you're still, you know, maybe serving the church, you're still doing the things you did, but if someone could see in your heart, you're really dead. You've quit. Or the third way to respond to difficulties, and this is what Job did, you can serve and grow. You can remain faithful to God, and you can grow even through difficult times, grow even through difficult people. You know, Job had his struggles. I would encourage you to read the book of Job. As you read the book of Job, you'll find there are times when Job says, I wish I would die. There were times in Job's lives where you can see him giving in to difficulties, but he didn't. He didn't quit. He kept on going. He remained faithful to God. And notice what James says here. In the end, you saw what the Lord finally brought about in his life. When you go to the end of the book of Job, Job chapter 42, verse 7 to 12, you find that God blessed Job beyond belief. So if you look at the beginning of verse 11, notice what it says. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. It is not, we don't consider blessed those who suffer, but we consider blessed those who persevere in spite of suffering. When we look at people's lives and we say, there goes a great Christian, we do not say, there goes a great Christian because they've suffered. Anyone can suffer. Anyone can go through problems. But when we see people going through problems and they're not quitting, when we see people kind of holding up under a lot of difficulties, we then stand back and we say, no, there goes a great Christian. Someone said it this way. Remember, there can be no victories without battles, and there can be no heroes without victories. It's those who win the battles, who endure, who persevere in spite of difficulties, they're the ones we consider victorious. James kind of ends his thoughts with this statement, the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Remember, as you're going through difficulties with people, remember as people are stepping on you and hurting you and knocking you down, remember this week as you go to work. Remember this week as you face problems and difficulties. Remember this week when you get into a conflict with someone else and you just feel like screaming. And you know that God wants you to endure. You know that God wants you to quit. You know that God wants you to hold in your anger. Remember as you go through that you are serving a God who's very compassionate and a God who is full of mercy. And it is a God who looks down at your life and realizes what you're going through, and it's a God who's watching over you in love and compassion. No, we need to learn to be patient with people. We need to learn to endure. We need to learn to persevere. And we need to learn to quit quitting. We need to learn to quit quitting. We can cut and run. We can stay and hide. Or no matter what goes on in our life, we can serve and grow. Which are you going to do? Let's stand for a closing word of prayer. Father, I pray tonight if there's anyone here that has really quit in their heart, they're going through the motions, but they've really quit on life. I pray, Lord, that they would learn to wait on you, that they would put their trust in you. I pray, Father, that you would renew their strength and they would fly like eagles and they'd run and not grow weary and they'd walk and not faint. Help us, Father, to hold our anger. Help us, Father, learn to be patient with one another, especially those who would seek evil towards us. I pray, Father, we would learn to persevere no matter what we face. For I pray in Jesus' name. I ask in His name. Amen.